A Mother's Sorrow by Margaret Dickinson. Read by Colleen Prendergast. Chapter 1. Sheffield, September 1892.
Get out of this house, and don't you dare show your face here ever again.
Tears streamed down Mary Ellen's cheeks as her father shook his fist in her face. She stood before him, broken and shamed, waiting for a sharp slap, but the blow never came. He had never, in all her 17 years, struck Mary Ellen. His wife, Edith, and even Flora, his eldest daughter, had felt the back of Patrick Halliday's hand more than once. But Mary Ellen had always been his favourite, until this moment.
"You can go to him," he spat. "Whoever he is, seeing as you won't even tell us who the father of your bastard is."
He paused and added bitterly,
"I would never have thought it of you, Mary Ellen, but when I heard you retching into the chamber pot in your bedroom early one morning, I knew. It was just like your mother was when she was expecting."
The tears flowed faster as Mary Ellen whispered plaintively,
"Ma'am?"
But there was no help to be had from Edith. She had been controlled and cowed since the day of her marriage to Patrick. Her parents had known he was hard-working, and they'd believed he would care for Edith and whatever family they might have.
"You'd do well to take him," her mother had said. "You're not exactly the prettiest girl in the street now, are you? You might never get another offer."
In Edith's world, it was all a girl in her position could hope for, to be married and to devote her life to caring for her husband and family. What neither she nor her parents realised then was that Patrick was a quick-tempered bully. The first time Edith appeared at her old home with a bruise on the side of her face, her mother had been shocked.
"I never would have believed that of him. He's not the man I thought he was."
An only child, Edith had been born and brought up in a two-up, two-down terraced house in a street southwest of Sheffield town centre. Her father worked at a local cutlery factory, and it had been there that he'd met Patrick Halliday and invited him home to tea.
"He's an enterprising young man," he'd told his wife and daughter. "He'll go far. Rumour is that the boss has got his eye on him to be a foreman, even though he's only young. He's a hard worker, I'll give him that. Our Edith could do worse."
And so Edith had accepted Patrick's proposal, and they'd settled into the terraced house where he'd been born and had lived on his own since the death of both his parents. It was situated in the next street to where her parents lived, but a world away from the life she had known with them. The front door opened from the street directly into a narrow hallway with doors to both the front parlour and the kitchen on the left, while the staircase was directly ahead. The parlour was hardly ever used. It was the best room, with just a few ornaments which had belonged to Patrick's mother in a china cabinet and on the mantelpiece. They were his treasured possessions, and Edith's hands shook whenever she dusted them. The kitchen was where the family lived day to day and contained the range where Edith did all the cooking. A small scullery had been built onto the back of the house, and across the backyard was the privy and a wash house with a copper in one corner. Although it was a friendly street, with the neighbours watching out for each other through good times and bad, Edith had not been able to make close friends with anyone. Patrick would not allow it. Even the two sisters, Flora and Mary Ellen, had never been allowed to play out in the street, at least not when their father was around. By the time he was due home, they were both washed and dressed in their prettiest dresses or playing together quietly in their bedroom upstairs. Edith had worked hard all her life to keep her home neat and tidy and as clean as was possible in a town where factory chimneys belched smoke all day long. A hot meal was always on the table for Patrick when he came home after a long day at the cutlery factory. He was the master in the house, and no one was ever allowed to forget it. From the day she first crossed the threshold, her days became one long,